So now, please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll be reading from verse 10 through 18. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 18. It's on page 986 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 18. So Matthew chapter 13 begins with Jesus speaking to the crowd of people, the famous parable of the sowers. And Jesus starts to explain the theme of God's kingdom to the people. But after that, he explains to his disciples the reason why he speaks in parables. And tonight we would like to focus on a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples after he spoke the first parable to them. So now let us hear the infallible word of our Lord. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower." Amen. This is the word of our Lord. And let us turn to Matthew 13 again. So tonight we want to focus on how we are to listen to our Lord and why we are able to do so as God's people. In fact, Apostle Paul states in Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." See, our foundation of our faith is the word of Christ we listen to. And as we praised in Psalm 50, our worship, also our praise, starts from the Lord summoning us and speaking to us as we are called to listen to Him. In other words, our faith is and our faith should be dependent, fully dependent on God's words, God's revelation, God's revealing Himself to us. Our Lord reveals Himself to us and speaks to us through the Bible and through Jesus Christ. And we come to listen to His word. This is the important aspect of our faith that is so much different from other religions or the way of thinking in the secular world we live in today. For instance, in Japan, where I'm from, the idea of sort of Buddhism are most prominent among various religions, I would suppose. And in Buddhism, you are taught to sort of achieve enlightenment after maybe hours of or days of meditation or other efforts you can make. So people try to do whatever they can do to reach this goal of enlightenment. And some of them claim that they actually have reached this goal. And people sort of other people highly admire and respect these people who claim themselves to be reached to the goal of enlightenment. Well, some of those people even start or open up their new religion. And many people try to follow those people's footsteps. This kind of thinking may even affect Christianity, the Christians in Japan, because some younger Christians, some newer Christians may claim that they cannot really accept Christianity yet because they do not completely understand it by themselves. They say they haven't really come to the point where they really understand everything in the Bible by themselves. For these people, their full understanding must come before they can believe in the Lord. In other words, they say they have to see with their own eyes, and they have to hear with their own ears before accepting God and His Son, Jesus Christ. In the very beginning of today's passage, Jesus' disciples asked Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered His disciples, starting like this, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Today we'd like to examine more closely Jesus' answer and what kind of attitude Jesus requires from us as His disciples, and as we seek to listen to His precious words. So first of all, let us consider this aspect. Jesus answered His disciples, "To them the secrets of the kingdom are not given." If you look at the context of this Matthew 13, Jesus was then ministering in the area of Galilee. And the first three verses of this chapter indicate that Jesus was sitting beside the sea, and the great crowd gathered to Him. We don't know exactly how many people there were, but it seems like there were so many people that Jesus had to go get into a boat, sort of take a certain distance from the crowd, and sit down there. The passage reads that Jesus told them many things from the boat. And this scene may remind us of the scene of the Sermon on the Mount earlier recorded in Matthew. There, Jesus went up on the mountain and sat before He talked to His disciples and the crowds. So then, do we see any difference between the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and this occasion in Matthew 13? Well, it is true that Jesus is speaking from the boat rather than from the mountain, but there is yet another fundamental difference. In Matthew 13, Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables. Jesus starts here to speak the parables to the people. And this drew the disciples to ask this question to their teacher Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And the first answer, first of all, Jesus did so in order to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, as Jesus said in verse 14, In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says so and so. And here, Jesus cites from Isaiah chapter 6. So we shall turn our attention to this chapter of Isaiah for a few moments. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah receives his calling from the Lord. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds to God by saying, "Here am I, send me." But God's reply to this Isaiah's word was somewhat, disappointing for Isaiah. Because the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." You know, how would Isaiah have felt when he was told this from the Lord? I tend to imagine this situation from my experience as a preparatory student, maybe. Imagine if this is the day of your ordination as a minister. You know, you have went through all the studies of the seminary, and you passed the presbytery exams, and finally you have come to this joyful day. And your heart is filled with hope and ambition for your future ministry for the Lord. And at that very ordination service, imagine if the keynote is addressed this way. The people won't understand, or they won't even listen to you and God. They will not turn their heart, and they will not be healed. You know, how would I feel if I received such an address on my very day of ordination, the very first day of my ministry? But this was exactly what Isaiah was told by the Lord when he was called to his ministry as a prophet. And back to this Matthew 13, Jesus quoted from this passage of Isaiah, and he said that this prophecy was fulfilled by the people around him. Yes, of course, Isaiah was originally talking about the Israelites back in their own days, and back in the Old Testament days. They hardened their hearts, and their eyes and ears were closed to the Lord their God. We have perceived this through the Old Testament history this morning. They were so hard-necked, stiff-necked people, even if the Lord showed mercy to them continually, they ended up just falling into idolatry again. Even if they were taken back to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, they so easily postponed the reconstruction of the temple for 20 years. These people did not respond to the call to repent and turn back to their God, and they ended up facing a desolate captivity and other judgments from the Lord. But Jesus applied this prophecy to the Jews around him. In fact, in the preceding chapter of today's passage, in Matthew 12, it reads that the offenses of the Jews against Jesus were becoming more obvious at this point in his ministry. The Pharisees in particular, they accused Jesus of having his disciples pluck heads of grain and eat on Sabbath. And they accused Jesus of healing the man with a withered hand. Matthew 12:14 reads, "But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. And then they ended up claiming that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of Beelzebul. So the Jews were basically claiming that the Jesus was on the demon side. And this kind of enmity is the background of what Jesus was saying, what Jesus was claiming in today's passage. Indeed, those people heard Jesus, but they never understood him. They saw Jesus in their own eyes, but they never truly perceived him. Their hearts had grown dull, just as Jesus describes using the prophecy of Isaiah. You see here that the contrast between those who follow Jesus and those who do not is clearly addressed in this occasion. The crowds who did not follow Jesus as his disciples were not given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. They were not given eyes to see and ears to hear, and so they did not turn to Jesus. But brothers and sisters, we want to consider this. Please don't think that it is just somebody else's problem, but rather we must recognize that we were also once doing the same thing to Jesus, because this is the reality of our sin. As the Apostle Paul states, we were all once dead in our trespasses and our sins. We need to recognize this fact in order to fully understand and in order to fully appreciate what Jesus is saying in today's passage. We did not see and listen to Jesus with our own eyes and ears. We did not see and listen to Jesus with our own eyes and ears. In other words, we did not see and listen to Jesus with our own knowledge or our own ability or whatever we have in ourselves. But rather, we are seeing and we are listening to Jesus by our given eyes and our given ears. Through these given eyes and given ears, we are given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. This wasn't done by our own sinful, intellectual speculations or anything like that. The word secret, or in other translations, it is often translated mystery, does not imply that God is somewhat mean and maliciously sort of hiding the truth from the human being. It is clear from the parallel passage of today's text in Mark 4. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. See here, the emphasis here is on the fact that these secrets need to be manifested and brought into light. It is not on our side, the mankind, it is not ourselves who can reach to the goal by ourselves. Rather, we need to be revealed of the secrets of the kingdom by our given eyes and ears. Because our human eyes and ears, our eyes and ears in nature are just useless. They can't perceive the truth. They can't listen to the truth. And we can't understand the secrets of the kingdom by ourselves. We need to be revealed them by the Lord. And this draws us to the next point Jesus is stating in this passage. The second point, to you the secrets of the kingdom are given. Jesus says, to you the secrets of the kingdom are given. If you look at the words of Jesus in verses 11 and 16. In today's passage, Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." And then in verse 16 again, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And if you look at the original language of these passages, there is an obvious emphasis on the word "you" or "your." So it should be read like, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Please remember that Jesus was speaking particularly to his disciples in today's passage. So here Jesus is not merely criticizing those who are not given eyes to see and ears to hear, but rather he is focusing on the privilege of his disciples. Jesus is saying that the disciples were given eyes to see and ears to hear by God's grace. The Apostle Paul later says in his letter, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." According to this grace from God, we are given the privilege to know the secret of the kingdom of heaven. And so, our attitude should be, we must first be thankful for this grace. We need to be given eyes and ears from the Lord. And Jesus continues to emphasize this grace, this blessing in verse 17. "For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Here Jesus is referring to the faithful people of God and the Old Testament. And Jesus emphasizes that his disciples have even more privileges and even more blessings than those Old Testament people had. Jesus is saying that we are, including us, we are seeing more than the great heroes of faith in the Old Testament, such as Abraham or Moses or David had seen. How can this happen? In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the same theme. Hebrews 11, after listing the names of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament, this chapter concludes by saying, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." Well then, what is this promise that these Old Testament people hadn't received? Well, it is the promise God has made with his people in the form of covenant. This covenant starts all the way back from Genesis 3, right after the fall of Adam and Eve. There God said, "And I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." And from this time on, God's promise, God's mutual relationship with his people was revealed throughout human history in the form of his covenants, which were given to his people. The covenant was given to Noah, for example, after the flood. You remember the sign of the rainbow when Noah and his family came out of the ark. And the Lord gave Abraham his covenant. To Moses, God has given his law as his covenant. And to David, God has given the covenant. These faithful people, these heroes of the Old Testament, did believe and did trust in these covenants, which they were given from God. But yet, they did not see the fulfillment of this covenant. They didn't see the fulfillment, the final fulfillment of these promises in their life. Because the Messiah King had to come in order to fulfill that promise. And this is actually what Jesus is talking about in today's passage. Because the perfect example of this promise, this covenant, can be seen in Isaiah 6, just after the passage we read earlier, just after this portion of the text Jesus is quoting. We saw that Isaiah received such a rather discouraging word from the Lord when he was called to his ministry. After that, Isaiah asks the Lord, "Lord, how long?" In Isaiah 6:11, and God responds to him, saying, "Until cities were devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." The holy seed is its stump. What is this holy seed in its stump? Well, here the Lord query refers to the promise of David, the covenant of David in 2 Samuel 7. The Lord clearly promises that after the desolation, this stump or the holy seed, the singular word, the holy seed will be there. This is the very seed of David promised in 2 Samuel 7, who establishes God's kingdom forever as the coming Messiah. Therefore, Isaiah's calling did not just end in discouragement, but he was rather given a hope of this coming Messiah through God's covenant. However, Isaiah did not see the fulfillment of this coming Messiah through God's covenant. He did not see the fulfillment of this promise in his own life. Isaiah was also the one who longed to see and hear, but he could not. And Jesus is saying that we are now seeing and hearing this very Messiah with your given eyes and ears, whom great figures of faith in the Old Testament had been longing to see and hear, but they could not. So as Jesus' disciples, we too must recognize our given privileges, the given privilege, and be thankful for it. Through Jesus' words, we are seeing and we are hearing the promised Messiah. We are seeing the fulfillment of God's covenant. What a wonderful privilege it is. We need to focus on, and we need to be thankful for this wonderful privilege and blessings we have as grace from our God. And then this brings us to our third point, the final point in today's text. That is in verse 18. Jesus says, "You must see, you hear the parables." Hear then the parable of the sower. The final point is that we must see and hear Jesus with our given eyes and ears and follow him. Please notice that after explaining why he speaks in parables, Jesus commanded his disciples to hear the parables in verse 18 using their given ears. Moreover, today's passage starts with the disciples asking Jesus why he speaks in parables. That signifies the disciples did not understand why Jesus did so at this point. The point is that the disciples were not sort of automatically given the secrets of the kingdom. They still had to see, and they still had to hear Jesus with their given eyes and ears. Here we also see our own responsibilities as well as our given privilege. It is not like God has given everything we need so we don't have to do anything. No, there is a responsibility as well as our given privilege in our life of faith. And this balance is indeed essential for us. Yes, we do not see and hear. We are not able to see and hear with our own sinful eyes and ears. We first need to be given eyes and ears from God. It was not through our own effort that we came to see and hear Jesus and we came to follow him. It was God's grace alone. We are given spiritual eyes and ears as God's grace. But with these given eyes and ears, we must see and we must hear Jesus. We must follow what he is saying. Indeed, the Pharisees also saw and heard Jesus' parables. Later in this Gospel of Matthew, he records in chapter 21, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, Jesus' parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. When they sought to seize them, they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. As these verses tell, these Pharisees also heard Jesus' parables and actually perceived them. But what was their response? They rather tried to arrest Jesus instead of repenting of their sins and following him. This shows a clear contrast between those who are given eyes and ears and those who are not. On one hand are those who see with their given eyes. And on the other are those who try to see with their own eyes. And as the disciples did, we as God's people, we as God's disciples, Jesus' disciples, we must also hear and listen to Jesus as our King, our Messiah. And we need to follow him as our Lord. This is a responsibility for us who are given eyes to see and ears to hear our Jesus. Back in Matthew 13, verse 12 has another sort of seemingly unfair statement. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Again, this verse is not talking about our Lord's unfairness sort of thing, as some people may speculate. Matthew actually repeats this phrase again in Matthew 25:29. This is where the conclusion of the message of the parable of talents is given. As the Lord's servants, we are called to make use of our given talents, the spiritual gifts, rather than hiding it in the ground. We must use our given eyes and ears for our Lord's sake. If we seriously listen to the word of God, if we seriously pay attention to the teachings of Jesus, our attitude cannot be like, well, it is God who gives our eyes and ears, so we just sit back and relax and just depend on God, because we are already given them. Do you remember what Matthew records at the end of his gospel? There, Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. Through what? Through baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and also by teaching them to observe what all that I have commanded you, all that Jesus has commanded you them. We need to teach others. We need to be taught ourselves, but we need to teach others to observe Christ's commandments. Yes, it is the Lord who grants us our spiritual eyes and ears. It is not our human words that save others, but where the word of God. The commandments of Christ is spoken, and when the Holy Spirit is at work, the Lord opens one's heart and grants him or her eyes to see and ears to hear. So we must seriously pray for this, and we must seriously be involved in this work of the Lord. We should focus on our given responsibilities. We must see and hear Jesus with our given eyes and ears and follow him. And we must pray earnestly, and we must encourage each other to do so, and to teach others to do so, as we were reminded of again in this morning from the words of Haggai. We need to consider our ways. We need to consider if God's temple in us, if God's... We need to think ourselves, we need to ask ourselves, are we really living worthy of being God's dwelling? Are we worthy? Or is our walk worthy of the Holy Spirit being dwelling in our heart? We must do so by fearing our Lord and obeying his law, obeying God's commandments. And here in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is basically encouraging his disciples the same thing. His disciples are given spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear. But by using those eyes and ears, they need to obey Jesus Christ. They need to love him. They need to keep his commandments. As we start our new week starting today, let us question and examine ourselves. Are we recognizing our privilege as God's people? And are we giving thanks for our given eyes to see and our ears to hear? Are we following Jesus Christ as our Messiah King by seeing and listening to him with our given eyes and ears? Are we praying for the people around us? Are we encouraging the people around us to do so? But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen. Dear our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word you have given us this evening. Lord, thank you for our eyes and our ears you have given us. Lord, we confess that we were once dead in our own sin, but it is you who have raised us by your grace, and it is you who sent us your Son Jesus for the sake of our redemption. So Father, please make us be thankful for the word of Jesus Christ, our true Messiah. And please make us be thankful for our given spiritual eyes and ears that we use to see and listen to Jesus. Father, please make us use these given eyes and ears so that we can truly understand our Lord Jesus and so that we can follow Him in our life. Let us walk in the way of obeying your law. Please not make us fall into our sinful ways again, but make us really be focused on Jesus Christ with our eyes and ears. Father, as we start our new week from today, as we are sent off by your word today, please really guide our hearts and please purify our hearts so that we can really appropriately walk as your people and as the disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. So now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.